Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to AfterBuzz TV's The Christmas 24/7 channel, keeping the spirit of Christmas 24/7. Give, forgive, be merry.
What would happen if we all tried to be like Santa and learned to give as only he can give, of ourselves, our talents, our love, and our hearts? Maybe if we could all learn Santa's beautiful lesson, maybe there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
Welcome, people, to the 6 months of Christmas on the AfterBuzz TV, the Christmas 24/7 channel. Maybe, Jeff Graham, maybe if we did all those things, maybe there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill to men. What do you think?
Well, Kevin, I can tell you I got a lot of peace on earth and goodwill toward men this week, this weekend.
At the first annual Christmas Con.
Yes.
Ryan, in the booth, how jealous are you?
I'm so jealous of Jeff right now. I was telling him earlier, it's like he went to a music festival that was the big new thing, but no one knew about it, and he's there.
And I got to credit Ryan. He's not just saying that because I woke up on Friday. I had a text from Ryan, all caps, Christmas Con, Christmas tree, Christmas tree, Christmas tree. Ryan, I will say we have an amazing producing staff here, but I love Ryan just has this unflappable excitement, not only for what he's producing here, but what other people are producing here,
and,
too.
And his heat miser to his snow miser, Vito.
Yes, yes. The Splash Brothers.
Yes, the Splash Brothers, as I call them. Although, I know the sunglasses are on because he continues to be our Christmas punk, except he's not wearing the colors.
I don't have the colors today. I was a working elf, working hard, and kind of got preoccupied and had to prioritize where my efforts went.
I think I have to find you something outside of the Dickens costume, something a little quicker for you.
Maybe a sweater.
I think a sweater.
We could have, you know, we do have some amazing intern elves at our office who could go run him the purple. They just got to run back.
Yeah, but then that's tough to put on.
That's true.
But we have the Maximus Menounos ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, we do have a sweater.
That's hanging back there that somebody could get, and he could put that on and represent for our rescue baby, Maximus Menounos, no longer a baby, 130 pounds.
Wow.
But he loves Christmas.
Of course he does.
Because we got him, it was kind of around, you know, I think it was around the holidays, November. And all good things. Listen, on the Christmas note, there was a story that came up that found its way to us through a dog charity. We went to, there's an annual Christmas dog charity that our friend Whitney Cummings runs, and a bunch of other stars go to it, Olivia Munn. And Hillary Duff. No, Beth doesn't go to this. And it's wonderful, and it's kind of the first holiday party of the season. Mm. Christmas decorations everywhere, you know. And you know, it's always nice because you bring around like-minded people. You know, everyone who wants to save dogs. You know what I mean?
Totally. So
you generally have like a happy crowd there. And it came to our attention that there was a poodle Bichon mix named Gordo. And Gordo is up for adoption and currently in a foster home because his mom got stage 4 cancer and ended up becoming homeless, and the shelters wouldn't take Gordo.
Wow.
And as we did some due diligence, you know, this was a lady who had worked in a law firm as an assistant her whole life. It wasn't, you know, a stereotypical, well, your bad version of
she's not on Skid Row, is how we'll say it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying the people on Skid Row aren't victims to some.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of them are, and you know, some it, crazy enough, it's by choice. But anyway, my point is with this person, this was someone who really just had some hardship. And, you know, she loved her baby so much, and so first order business is finding him a home, and Tammy
Govea,
who does our Dish and Days show mm-hmm. here, she does all of our soap opera content, some Hallmark stuff, reached out and said, you know, I would love to take him and Gordo and for Christmas.
God bless her.
Yeah, so we're hoping we can make that adoption happen and help the lady in return. And again, you know, this is the time of the year where I think everyone's inspired to do those things. And I think that's the, and that's why I say, I don't, give me more lights, give me more decorations.
Oh, yeah.
Have more Christmas music. Have it start earlier and earlier. You know, whatever it takes to get people to be happy. And as we say on the Christmas 24/7, to give, forgive, be kind, and be merry.
Kevin, I couldn't have said it better myself. And I can't wait for you to come to the next Christmas
con. By the way, they're thinking about doing a one out here in the summer.
Mm-hmm. July.
Well, they'll do it for Leon Day.
Yeah, for that's Christmas.
Noel's bad backwards. That's the actual 6 months before Christmas.
Yep.
And there's probably a whole other discussion around that, about whether that's too early.
You know. After this weekend, Kev, I don't know if there's any such thing as too early. And part of what we did, I'll get into the whole Christmas con situation, but we did a lot of Man on the Street interviews, and I asked the very important questions, like, how early is too early? I did get a lot of November 1st, so I think in general, a lot of people agree with the sentiment of our show.
November 1st.
Yep, I got a lot of that.
Okay.
But Kevin, I'd say 50% said no such thing. I start in April. Easter is how I signify it. I keep the tree up and decorate in different ways for different holidays.
You know, Jeff, these are the people I should have had you get their emails.
This is our tribe, Kevin.
Exactly. It's our tribe.
Yes.
It's amazing. Absolutely.
I am so excited. I have all these amazing interviews, all this amazing content. Make sure you guys are subscribed, because I think really up until Christmas, we will be releasing Christmas con packages.
You gotta have to.
Because there's just so much. I got hours and hours of incredible footage, Hallmark interviews. I mean, do we just get into it now, Kev? Do you just want to hear?
Yeah. Can I ask you one question to preface it? Were the people there, were the majority of them of our belief, which is we love both the fun of this, but then we also love the spirit of the well, because here's the thing. You can go down that hole, and it could just be people who like the lights, or they just don't want to leave their childhoods.
Mm.
Was there a kindness that you felt there? That's, and be honest, Jeff, because I know you're just nice anyway.
No, like, I'm really trying to answer this honestly. I'd say 90% of the people there had a very Christmas 24/7 energy, kind, warm, excited. The 10% of curmudgeons, you always get some of them. But in general, I think people were really excited. I will say a lot of the people there were also just Hallmark obsessies too. So a lot of people were there to meet some of the talent, because you know the con was also sponsored by Hallmark, and there's about 20 Hallmark heroes of the kings and queens of Hallmark that were there.
Gotcha.
So, but in general, Kev, you'll see in these interviews a lot of nice families who just wanted to start Christmas early.
Okay, I'm down for that. And then also, you interviewed many podcast hosts who also do Christmas podcasts.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I feel like there's so many of these shows that we could produce just talking about Christmas Con. The focus today is going to be these podcast interviews I got. So, Kevin, you've mentioned Tim Babb and Brian are all on the show. They do Christmas Past and Can't Wait Till Christmas. Got great interviews with them. I also got the Bubbly Sesh Girls, who do Hallmark recaps, and they actually got hired by Hallmark last year.
Wow.
So they're a really exciting. They want to come in next year when they're going to be here for the TCAs. They're the best.
What about Deck the Hallmark?
Got the Deck the Hallmark guys.
You know, they're like they're the Bon Jovis of the...
Totally.
Yeah, they're the rock stars of Christmas
kind of punk rock. And, you know, I'd say we have a little bit of that, too. I was saying, you know, there's the very earnest podcasts, and there's the kind with a little bit of irreverence. I feel like we skirt that irreverence a little bit on our show.
Well, when I say about Deck the Hallmark, it's not just that they're cutting edge. They've been on the Today Show.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they're the rock stars. Was it like that? Were they king...
Kind of, Kev.
Did they feel like the alpha males on the stage?
Kev, in general, everyone is just hugs and eggnog. Like, honestly, even the deck, we'd love to do an interview. Oh, that's so cool. You guys have a Christmas network? That's great. It's all just
all Jeff Grahams.
It's a big old hug. Christmas con's a big old hug, Kev. It's the best. Yeah.
How do we keep evil out?
I think, in terms of a first con, it was pretty good. The one thing that was happening some, and I think you'll find this pretty funny, I might have to airdrop Ryan some photos. They did have the big display where you can social media.
Oh my gosh.
anything you want.
This was hysterical.
And I think some people realized that they weren't vetting all the tweets that show up on the big
board. Oh, no.
So there were some funny ones.
Funny like, haha?
Well, funny like, haha. Let me see. I'm just going to pull one up real quick.
You might need to pull them up.
Please.
I'm going to pull one up on my phone real quick.
One thing I was interested in asking about, Jeff, by the way, I did kind of suit up very
nice job,
incognito.
Ryan.
Good job, Ryan.
And I have the hat here.
What a producer.
Yeah, what punk rock I got here. Yeah. But I did want to ask, like, what was the element? This comes from someone. I got to take these off. This comes from someone who.
Glasses off. All glasses, business.
All business. I went to Comic-Con for the first time this year.
Okay.
And the atmosphere of that place is obviously, it's everyone's so excited. It's such a positive energy everywhere. This being the first Christmas con, like you were saying, it's all eggnog, it's smiles and hugs. What was the atmosphere like? Was there Christmas music playing everywhere?
Do you guys want me to just kind of paint the picture?
I do.
Yes,
paint
please.
Us a picture.
So, and I'll have Kevin, I'll have you read this just in a little bit, but you walk in and it's a convention center, but it has been transformed. The centerpiece, I'd say there were three main sections. There's the stage section where the panels are happening. There's the booth section, the booth section, the booth, as we say, where we have tons of local vendors. So we have candlestick makers and origami Christmas trees and books and chocolates and a lot of homemade Christmas-esque vendors who are selling. We had a booth there as well. Then in the center of that is the Hallmark display. So they've got these four giant brick walls of warm living room-esque settings. You can get your photo in front of the fireplace. There was an apple cider bar where you can go to get hot apple cider with a cinnamon stick inside and a little Christmas cookie to eat it with. Photo ops.
That's amazing.
It's the best. And then you go into the back section, and that's where all the talent is. So they just had individual booths where you could get photos with all the Hallmark talent.
Wow.
Pretty incredible. Christmas trees everywhere. I will say, I think the general consensus was, we decorated well this year, but we're going to decorate better in the future. I felt like there was good Christmas energy. I think come next year, they'll probably deck it out even more. But there was a giant inflatable Welcome to Christmas Con. I think more fake snow would be great for next year. And then the giant Christmas tree was in the center of all the talent for the meet and greet. So again, for a first year.
Yeah, first year, it's amazing.
If you want to make our fans laugh a little bit, Kev, here's the tweet, one of the tweets that was displayed on the big board.
Oh, boy. I love the okay, Star, so far, so good. I love the decorations here at hashtag ChristmasCon 2019. But I sure wish my wife would come back with the kids to live with me again.
So that's displayed
on
the big board. So just a couple of these
By the
tweets.
Way, wait a through. Second now. I want to say something, Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't think this crowd is ironic, irreverent.
You don't think
or dare
so?
I say funny enough? Right. I'm wondering if it's
that was an
some
earnest.
Really sad person who went to Christmas Con to feel better and means it.
I hope not. I will say the other tweet that they sent out was
it, well. Here's the thing. Let's
keep going.
Here's the thing. Let's see due diligence.
And again, this is a big board, Jeff. That they're just using the hashtag.
It's from Michelle.
This is a different tweet. Okay. I have another one from the same guy.
Okay. So claustrophobic right now. Thanks, hashtag ChristmasCon 2019, a.k.a. FryFest.
Firefest.
Firefest.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God.
So 90%, again, what I said, 90% wonderful, warm Christmas energy, then 10% complaining civilians.
This was but, Michelle?
Yeah.
Eisenstadt.
The other tweet that
not
the
happy.
Lonely Wife guy tweeted out was... check out by the Christmas tree. I've replaced one of the fake presents and put a horse head inside. Can you find which one? Question mark.
Oh, yeah. No,
so I think he was a troll.
Yeah, he was a troll.
And then there's another person.
I kind of like him.
I kind of like him, too. There was another person who just kept insistently tweeting trans rights, !!
Oh,
hashtag ChristmasCon 2019.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, you think the troll or... Really
I'm not
fighting.
Sure. Because maybe they were thinking there's not enough representation in Hallmark movies. So, which I do get into with one of our interviews. We have a very interesting conversation about
I never even thought of
and
that.
By the way, B. Lee says it was nice to meet Jeff at Christmas Con.
Thank you, Brandy. I haven't even mentioned it yet. Brandy, I was going to get to it, I promise. But so nice to meet you, too. I mean, Kevin, we all knew Brandy was great.
Yep.
Just the best in person. Such a sweetie. Very, you know, she's just pro making these networks fly. She sees it. She gets it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Brandy's the best. You know, Brandy, when you're in LA, we're going to bring you on. But just cooling down to earth. And here's what I'll say, too. Brandy, not all of the electronic friends you meet are great in person. Sometimes you meet them and there's a bit of a, like, whoa, energy.
Yeah.
But Brandy was just cool, easy to talk to, just great.
It's nice.
Yeah.
So good. Wow. I can't get over the trolls. I'm still kind of obsessed with the trolls. Kind of obsessed with the trolls. And it's so sad because the girls running this, they're spread so thin.
Yes.
I'm sure, like, they're running around with chickens with their heads cut off, and they just are not equipped to...
But here's what I'll say, Kev. I think most of the people there kind of got a chuckle out of it. You know, I think most people... I think maybe there's the few who would allow something like that to really affect their day, right. But...
I still love good comedy.
Yes.
Like South Park, and which, by the way, Integrity Farms, excuse me, if you watch South Park this year.
I'm behind this season.
It's so sad that Saturday Night Live couldn't do a parody Hallmark movie starring a trans person.
Oh, I think
that is a perfect idea.
It's an interesting pitch.
Yeah, but they would never get away.
Well, I think the way they'd have to do it would be how people react. I feel like they would have to do... Because I don't know if the comedy would be inherently in featuring a trans person, but more...
It would never work today.
What would Middle America, how would they react?
That would work.
That's
like
the sketch.
Like a test group, yeah.
Yeah.
Would be right. See that? Jeff, you have a way of modernizing my comedy.
Oh, thanks, Kev. You know, I think you're... I love your writing.
But it does a lot of it just too twisted and dark for today. It's the first time I've said comedy... has always gotten better and better and progressed more and more since the turn of the other century. You know, we look back at other things that people in the 50s thought was funny. We're like, really?
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten funnier and funnier. And this is the time where it stopped.
This is the
first
moment.
Time. Yeah, we're not growing. We're not evolving.
Restrictions.
They'll say it's it is evolving with all the restrictions, but it's not. And then it's not even like the stuff that I hear from the social justice warrior comedians. It's not really great. I have not seen great observational humor.
Right.
That, you know, I'd see in old comedians and comedians. And it's the first time where it's just like, I can think of so many funny things.
So you're the Todd Phillips train here. He's the Joker director who is saying the reason he made Joker and not a comedy is because it's too hard to make a studio comedy nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, I think I give credit to the Workaholics guys on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Their movie was long, it was dark, it was twisted. Did you see it, Jeff?
This is Game Over?
Yes.
With Shaggy?
I thought it was phenomenal.
Wild film.
Yeah, it seemed, if you say wild, I say phenomenal.
I liked it.
Marie and I laughed, my wife and I laughed the whole time, but it could only be done on Netflix, and I think because they have such a strong base, like the way Chappelle does,
mm-hmm.
that it's fine for them, but I think anyone else, no. So...
Well, I hear you. I think I...
Nothing to do with Christmas, by the way.
It's all good. It's important.
I did see The Last Christmas.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
You
saw
good?
It.
Solid? That's a Paul Feig movie, speaking of comedy,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, and you know what? It was okay.
Good, not great?
Good, not great. Yeah, no, but good, not great. Good, okay. You know, good, not great. You know, probably... I think sometimes with Christmas movies, I think what everyone tries to do is hit a grand slam... to make the next classic, because basically you can if you make a great Christmas movie as a filmmaker or as a star, you can cash checks for the rest of your life. So like, if you even look back at Elf, it was shot in a way that the production design, everything was very evergreen, meaning they knew whatever time you would see that movie would be okay. And of course they were right. And
yeah.
It's paid off, but you also kind of sometimes see these other films and you realize that's what they're trying to do.
So there was sort of you could feel the commercially generic aspects of Last Christmas.
Yeah, a lot of the character arcs. And it's like, okay, we really don't need this. We don't need... Okay, got it.
That's an interesting observation. If you guys don't know this, Kevin's a filmmaker.
There was definitely some dark humor in there Feig threw in.
Okay.
And Elizabeth Banks, who I'm a big champion of.
Oh, she's the best.
But she was a co-writer on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, you know, if you're a George Michael fan, you'll love it because they have George Michael. It's almost like a George Michael soundtrack.
Cool. Faith? That's the only George Michael.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see. And then Last Christmas.
Oh, of course.
The song. But all his other songs, too. It was a little uneven, and I said I could feel the manipulation.
You could feel that.
Whereas a good Christmas movie, I don't feel like that. It's all happening naturally.
It's a sharp observation.
So, but listen, you want the holiday spirit and a nice movie theater? Yeah, go see it.
Well, I'd love to hear what our fans think. You know, I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen Last Christmas. If you're listening on the podcast, check out our YouTube channel, comment down below, and let us know what you thought of Last Christmas.
Yes, and Jeff, before we get into Christmas Con, we have the Christmas 24/7 Instagram page.
Sure do.
The great Ashley Daniels is running it for us. Please subscribe.
Yes.
Right? Or
Follow us on Instagram, guys.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's at the Christmas 247. And I'm so glad I'm subscribed to this. We're just kind of giving you those daily Christmas pick-me-ups that you need. It's exactly aligned with the mission of our network. So if you like our network on YouTube, you're going to love our Instagram. That's at the Christmas 247. And if you go to our tag section, we have some fun Christmas Con photos.
And let's get some more comments, please, on iTunes.
Yes.
And ratings. And then on Apple Podcasts, excuse me. And then the same on YouTube.
Yeah. In fact, just while we're at it, I am going to read our most recent podcast review, because we got a great one. Pulling it up. I'm just pulling it up. Just give me a couple seconds, guys. I mean, Kev, I could talk about Christmas Con all day.
Which I'm excited.
I'm really excited.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so looking forward to, I know you got to sit down with Alonzo Duraldi, who obviously film critic, What the Flick fan. He has a book titled Have a Movie Little Christmas. And, you know, me being a big movie guy, I've seen that book. I heard he gave you a copy.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to the excerpt of the interview you had with him.
I think you're going to love it. It's a nice thing for our audience. So this review, I'm just going to read it on Apple Podcasts, came from EWES528491. He says, I found their Halloween episode and was disappointed that I wasn't tuned in from day one. How could I have missed a podcast all about my favorite season of the year? These hosts give Christmas the respect it deserves and make a good name for people who want to keep the Christmas spirit going all year round. EWES, thank you for the review. Yes. You get it. You get us.
You get us. You see us and we see you.
We see you. So just keep reviewing, guys. I know our listeners are growing and growing, and we're in this for you. So we ask
we
for
the
same
thing. We
don't
have many.
Yes.
But the few that we have, they are loud. They are proud. And we appreciate them.
We appreciate them so much.
Yes. Okay, Jeff, Christmas Con.
So let's get into it. I mean, I kind of gave you guys a sample of what the whole flavor was like.
Right.
I got some amazing red carpet interviews with Hallmark talent. I know you Hallmark fans are fans of Lacey Chabert because she's done 17 Hallmark movies.
Wow.
If you were hoping that the Hallmark talent you see on your movies are as nice in person as they are in these movies, listen up, people. These are just the kindest, warmest. They all come up and give you a hug before the interview.
Oh.
It's just the best. When you pull back the curtain, working for Hallmark, they say it's just a dream. And all of these interviews are going to be going up on our channel, hopefully today, if not definitely throughout the week. And same with what I'm most excited about, Kevin. We met the Christmas maniacs. We got some amazing man on the street interviews. We asked very important questions like Bing or Bublé, Jim Carrey's Grinch or Will Ferrell's Elf. These were very important questions, and people get very passionate
about
this stuff.
That's what we do here at the Christmas 24/7. We ask the important Christmas questions.
The important Christmas questions.
We go on a limb. That's what we do, and it's not easy, and it's not pretty, but that's...
That's what we do.
That's it.
But today what we're going to be talking about on the show I think we'll do some more Christmas Con shows because there's a ton we can cover, but we're going to focus on these interviews with podcasters that I got. So on Saturday, I actually participated in a podcast panel moderated by Alonzo Duralde, who is a major film critic out here, does a show with Ben Mankiewicz called What the Flick for the Young Turks. Really well-respected film critic who loves Christmas, as Ryan mentioned.
I believe it's called Breakfast All Day now.
Oh, changed to Breakfast All Day. Thank you very much. But he moderated a panel with Brian Earle of Christmas Past, a guy whose podcast you've liked for a long time.
Love his podcast.
Tim Babb, who does Can't Wait for Christmas.
Yes.
Got an interview with him.
Another rock star in the podcast field.
Total rock stars. The Bubbly Sesh Girls. If you wanted to see what Hallmark would to look like if it were to be a person, these are the two girls. It's the best. And then we also got the Deck the Hallmark guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at all these interviews and just give you guys 2 to 3 minutes on our interview. If you want to see the full version of these, you can check them out on our channel. This is just the tease. And then we'll kind of discuss what we chatted about.
I think Deck the Hallmark guys are like, I think they're like the Rolling Stones.
They're the Stones.
I'm trying to put this into perspective. Yeah, they're the Stones. And I think Tim Babb, maybe Tim Babb's like the Sting.
Ooh.
I'm figuring it out.
He's more like the Weird Al, I would say.
Yeah, well, Weird Al, you're right, personality-wise, but then on the, like, then Weird Al, you compare Weird Al to the Rolling Stones, it's, you know.
Yeah, I guess different spaces, right? That's fair.
Slight, so, yeah, anyway.
Well, I think we have the video with Brian queued up, so Ryan, let's go ahead and roll that in. We're going to watch about 2 minutes of this and then talk about this interview.
Right,
huge fan of your show. For anyone of our listeners who haven't listened to Christmas Past, how would you describe it?
It has been described as Freakonomics meets Christmas, and I kind of like that description because I take Christmas traditions and give them the NPR treatment, sort of take this nerdy deep dive into the backstory, talking to experts on the subject, but producing it in a way that really focuses on storytelling so that you learn something, but you have fun learning it too. And then we talk to just people who are listeners. They'll share their Christmas memories, so there's a nice sentimental aspect to it as well.
I'm a big, like, This American Life, Ira Glass guy, and I kind of sense some of that flavor in your show, I would say.
Yeah, I think overall that's kind of the tone and pace that I'm going for, and the extent to which it sounds like that is the extent to which I've gotten lucky, I suppose. And I think, you know, as you work through, you kind of aim for one thing and it ends up, you know, sort of hitting the mark to some point, right? And then eventually you just sort of find your own voice. So I think 4 years in now, I think I've nailed it. I figured out what the show's about, who it's for, how it sounds, and yeah, we keep going from there.
When you look back on your catalog, are there any shows in particular that you are especially proud of?
Well, the very first episode I did was a series of three episodes on the history of how St. Nicholas became Santa Claus.
Great episode.
And it was, yeah, there's like one story that I told over three episodes, and I was proud of it and really interested to do it because I learned a lot of stuff, and that's one of the best things about having this podcast is I'm constantly learning things I didn't know before. But yeah, overall, I just felt like it all kind of held together nicely. The one thing I'm probably most proud of is the Christmas True Crime series that I have coming out on Thanksgiving Day this year.
Amazing.
It's called My Dear Santa, A True Crime Christmas Caper. And it's a 6-part series. All episodes drop on Thanksgiving. And it's this piece of Christmas history that most people have never heard before. But I'm hoping to change that because it's a real doozy of a story.
I'm in.
Brian, if I had to find the Venn diagram of my two favorite things, it would be Christmas right here and true crime right here. I'm on the edge of my seat. I can't wait. And the good news is for you, too. I've heard that true crime is popular among podcasters. I don't know if you've heard that as well.
Yeah, once or twice. Maybe.
Okay, great. Well, I can't wait for that. What's the name of that series?
My Dear Santa. It's actually under the normal Christmas Past podcast feed. It's just a special miniseries with its own name.
Great.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
I think that's a good preview of Brian. And Kevin, Brian had really kind words to say about you two at the show.
Nice.
He was talking, this is something I totally agree with. He was like, yeah, Kevin, he just has this enthusiasm. It's so contagious. He's like, you just kind of get swept up in the Kevin hurricane and you just, it's so exciting. So Brian wants to come on the show.
Oh, great. So yeah, he's going to come. I think he's up north, right? So he's going to come down.
Yeah, he's coming down. For some reason in December, it's going to be a tough... He's flying into LAX, and I think he's only here for like 24 hours, but he really wants to try to make it. He's like, is Burbank close to LAX? And I was like, well, not super, but yeah, we'll figure it out.
By the way, Christmas Crime is genius.
So smart.
So genius.
I mean, yeah.
But here's the thing. I know my brother was a policeman, and you guys might know this. Like, it's one of the busiest nights for police.
Wow.
Because you didn't know, you never heard that?
Drinking?
Domestic violence.
Ooh. Because
I mean, I can't tell you how many in my first neighborhood I grew up in, I can't tell you how many times you would just see, you know, out in the middle of the street, brawls. I mean, just families. Yeah, it's just like,
I guess it's
everyone's
that,
drinking, and then it's just, yeah. It
goes. The families are all together, too.
Right, and then suicides are high. I mean, it is not a fun night to work.
For everyone. Oh, for cops. It's
for
not
policemen,
a fun, yeah.
No. So, yeah. I'm sure Brian's going to do something, knowing him, high level and on par with true crime. If I were doing it, the low hanging fruit is, I mean, literally, I can't even imagine the stories of all the shitbirds.
Cops meets Christmas.
Yeah.
Kev.
So, yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah. I mean, like, listen, yeah, Christmas crimes is perfect. I mean, I also think that I wonder, you know, experienced criminals, you know, go out during hurricanes and other snowstorms because they know that the police or firemen are overwhelmed with too many other things. So it makes you wonder if Christmas isn't a good time to go rob and commit crimes, knowing that kind of everyone's preoccupied.
Kevin, maybe should we this year, you and I?
Again, ours would be, unfortunately, the low-end version.
Right.
I think if you want the high-end NPR version, Brian's going to be great. And I know Brian. He's such a good producer that, you know, the sound effects, and he's got this, like, soothing voice, and he goes deep with his research. Yeah, I can't see someone not picking that up.
For sure. I mean, it's a different show. If you guys,
I'm in though, Jeff. You're going to listen, right?
Oh, of course. That's the thing. We're sort of the freewheeling, you know, but this is more of the highly edited. If that's what you're looking for, Christmas Past is great, and I had a great time getting to know Brian at the con.
Right, good. Who else?
So next, I talked to the Deck the Hallmark guys. We have them queued up. I only had Dan and Fran. I didn't have Panda.
Okay.
Panda was in the middle of doing some signings, but these guys were the best.
So this show, so Jeff, as I told you, these guys have been featured on the Today Show. Make a lot of money doing this show. This is the most popular. Again, the Rolling Stones of Christmas podcasters are these guys. And the premise is there's one guy who loves the Hallmark movies, there's one guy who likes the Hallmark movies, and there's one guy who hates the Hallmark movies.
Yep.
And that's the formula.
Yep.
And it's very cool.
They got into it here. Well, you'll see. We talk about the spectrum of appreciation for the movies. So, Ryan, cue that up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here in the flesh with Brandon Dan from Deck the Hallmark.
Hey.
So excited to have you guys. Quickly, I got to ask, how's the con going so far?
Oh, the con's fantastic. Look at all these people that care about Christmas. It's awesome. I love it.
It is blowing me away how many people are here and dressed up and just festive in a way that I just thought was only available the week of Christmas. So it's
I love it. I'm here for it.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Even if I wasn't here as press, I'd be here just because I love it.
Yeah. We were on the way up, and he actually was like, I'm excited to be here as a fan. And I'm like, wow, good for you, buddy.
Speaking of fans, what's your favorite fan comment that you guys have gotten so far at the con?
About the podcast or about, oh my goodness.
Oh man. We had a husband and wife come up, and so I don't like the movies at all. Bran loves them. We got Panda in the middle who likes them okay.
He's getting a soda right now, but so sorry, buddy.
My thing is I don't like the movies. Like, that's the bit. So I'm Dan, he's Bran. This husband and wife comes up, and he goes, I'm a total Bran. And then he points at his wife and goes, she's a Dan. And she's like, yeah, I don't really want to be here at all. But my husband drugged me to the thing. So that's been the best one I've got.
For me, this lady today told us that we make the movies better for her, which is a really good compliment as people who talk about the movies to add a little something to something that's already so joyful and wonderful. That means a lot.
Yeah, I think that's something really cool that podcasting can do. I host a Bachelor podcast for our TV network, which, you know, has a huge following that, and candidly, some people kind of hate watch that show, but when they know they have the podcast, that's such a fun outlet for them to watch it, because it's like their friends are hanging out with them afterwards.
Totally. That was part of the reason we wanted to create the podcast, is three guys. We know there's a ton of guys out there that either watch them ironically, watch them with their wives because they have to, or because they secretly like them. So for me, as somebody who loves them, I wanted to talk about it with other guys. And so to create a podcast where we're talking about something where when you think about Hallmark, you think about, oh, that's something that a lot of females watch. Well, no, a lot of guys watch them too. And so we've been able to provide a voice to what I think a lot of guys are thinking, and we can say it, whether you love them or you despise them, we kind of give a voice.
And I think even though I say I hate the movies, which is accurate, like, we do this thing from a point of joy. Like, Christmas is about joy. Mm-hmm. So, like, even in me saying the movie wasn't good, we're having fun. Like, it's never anything personal. The actors come on the show. They seem to really love it. We have fun. Everybody we've talked to from Hallmark is such a blast. And so, like, even in our kind of snarky way, we're trying to bring joy, and that's what makes a lot of fun.
Perfect.
I think so, too. And, you know,
that's good. You'll have to check out the rest of the interview, because we had a very in-depth discussion about the movie A Christmas Melody. That's one of the most divisive Hallmark movies. That's the Mariah Carey-directed one. And each of us has a very specific take on what happened in production.
Okay,
so,
all right.
The full video will be up on our YouTube, but great conversation. Really nice,
excellent.
Guys.
Excellent. And, you know, we should put it up on Apple Podcasts as well.
Yeah.
Separately as a video.
I will. What we can do is we're just teasing these interviews, but we can stream each of these individually, just audio only, so you can hear them.
Yeah, I think it's important. Okay, who's next?
We got Tim Babb up next.
Oh, there's Tim. Tim is the one who brought me into this world.
Yeah, he's just the nicest, Kevin. Kind of a goofy, self-deprecating guy. If you're listening on the podcast right now, I have to tell you, Tim was wearing sort of light-up style Mickey Mouse ears. He's got,
he is all the F in.
He is all the F in.
Whereas I feel like Brian is the more serious Christmas journalist.
Yes.
He is definitely... He's the Howie Mandel.
Yeah, Howie Mandel's a great reference for Tim Babb. I think that's great. So let's go ahead and get into Tim's interview.
Start by asking, if anyone hasn't listened to your show, how would you describe it?
First of all, thank you for referring to me as legendary. Secondly, it's just basically a show about Christmas all year round, the movies, the traditions, the music, the food, just I try to explore everything about it and what we love about it and just do deep dives and just, you know, make light of it and everybody have a good time.
That's what I do like is the great thing about the ever-expanding Christmas podcast market is that there are some sort of earnest, really take themselves seriously podcasts, which we love, but there's also a bit of the lighter, kind of goofy approach to podcasting, and I feel like you take the latter. Can you describe, if you agree, can you describe why?
I definitely agree, and it's because as a stand-up comic, like I'm not going to approach something like that super seriously because I just feel like I feel like as a comic I would have to take the air out of something like that. So I just do it real time while I'm doing it. So you get a little information of, like, if you're interested in knowing like some of the, you know, behind the scenes about stuff, but then you also get me making fun of usually myself.
Nice. Self-deprecation is sometimes the most sincere form of comedy, I would say. Favorite show that you've produced?
Whew, that is a tough one.
This is a good one.
The one my kids like the most, which is surprising me, I did one in January about the Italian Christmas witch, Old Befana. They love that episode, and so I gotta go with what the kids like.
We did a little Mafonda coverage last week. It's kind of nutso.
Yeah, it is a crazy legend. Like, I picked the more sanitized version of it because I like my kids listen, so I know other kids listen, so I don't want to get too graphic.
Ars, if you want to hear a bit of the more graphic take, Santa is, I feel like either Santa when, or the apocalypse is
happening. This is good for now. We got most of the Tim stuff, but again, we'll put the full interview up on the channel and on the podcast.
So with Tim, it's another show that's really well produced. Mm-hmm. He works very hard on his segments. He's monthly. He'll start dropping bonus episodes like a lot of these guys. Brian starts in November. The Deck the Hallmark guys go year round. Mm-hmm. I think they actually go weekly, and Tim goes monthly. But again, his is very well produced, and Tim does a ton of voices.
He does.
So he imitates his character voices, but then he imitates a lot of different famous people, and it's really great. I remember driving. I had to stay awake on a drive back from Vegas in the middle of the night. When we did Summer League, the Boston Celtics invited us up.
Mm, that's right.
To attend this annual Summer League that we go to every year. And I was like, I was falling asleep. So I put him on and he was like, my wife was just shocked. She's like, wait, he's good. And wait, and he put so much work in this. And wait, yeah. But people listen to this? Yeah. So that's why I thought I was going to get my exit. But
we'll have to check out the interview. He does a Bing Crosby impression later in our interview because that's going to be his next. I got an answer from him on the Bing versus Buble debate. So I did get his take. Very well thought out take. And he does a Bing Crosby impression for us.
Yeah, he does it on his show all the time.
So make sure you check that out. Just the nicest. And he's San Francisco based. So I know he does want to come down at some point.
Good.
Bring him on the network. All right. This next interview, I got to say, was maybe my favorite I did at the con. Really, really thoughtful film critic. A guy named Alonzo Duralde. He's a podcaster as well, does a show with Ben Mankiewicz, who's a legendary film critic. Alonso moderated our podcasting panel, did a wonderful job, and he's an LGBTQ Christmas lover. And so in this conversation, we kind of get into the discussion of representation in Christmas movies.
And then Ryan, didn't he author a book about Christmas movies?
Yes, he has a book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas. He is a gigantic Christmas movie fan.
Wow.
We're pitching, he's excited about the idea of Ileana's podcast, so we're working on that now. He'd be the perfect guest for her show.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen hopefully before the end of the year. So let's
he won't come talk to us?
I think he'd be happy to come talk to us as well.
I want to get pick his brain about
I'd
the
be
movies.
So curious. You know,
let's do a car wash.
Because we're going to be talking about a Hidden Gems. You know, obviously we'll go over the best films. Mm-hmm. But for me, who watches the best ones every year per tradition, I'm always looking for those gems. And I have a couple that I found. I talked to some of the guys over in Popcorn Talk, mm-hmm. our sister network. Got some good picks from them. Just found another pick through Gilbert Gottfried's podcast.
Oh, cool.
A classic, something done about 40 years ago. But anyway, he's the guy that would probably know.
He'll absolutely come on our show. We'll just we'll set it up for him to do both. But Ryan, go ahead and roll on this interview.
Focus on that because in particular our network is all about Christmas, but we're trying to open up the circle of what Christmas means. I think especially you would know better than I would because you are a scholar about this, but I think in American cultural depictions of Christmas it does tend to be very Rockwellian, you know, very straight white male. You were just mentioning an upcoming Christmas movie this year?
Yeah, it's very exciting because, you know, I am not alone in being a gay fan of these kinds of movies. And, yeah, we're pretty much invisible. Like, you know, Netflix will sort of give us the best friend on the phone. You know, Hallmark, if you squint just right, you might see a character that is maybe LGBT.
Or like a harried assistant, typically.
Something like that. Yes. I mean, or like the third brother. You know, it depends. But I'm very excited to talk about it. There's a movie coming out from a company called Tello. It's going to be streaming later this year, called Season of Love. And it is a lesbian-focused Christmas rom-com. And it's about three couples who, you know, get together or deal with their stuff over Christmas. And it is very much in the vein of this kind of movie and very sort of, you know, PG-rated, but thoroughly unapologetically about, you know, women who love women getting together. And, you know, if you really want the sort of stuff you get out of the Hallmark movies, it's got the Christmas decoration, it's got the, you know, the countdown, 5 days, 4 days till Christmas, and it has the empty coffee cups. So, you know, it's all there.
There's something kind of great about seeing, like, these non-edgy, almost, I don't want to say mediocre, but, like, commercially generic films with LGBT stories. I really liked Love, Simon a couple years ago. Part of the reason that movie felt so radical is because it felt like a John Hughes high school movie, but also the protagonist was gay. But it felt like rather than the protagonist is gay and here's this movie, it was here's this movie and also the protagonist is gay. I don't know if I'm speaking about this eloquently or not. But
No. You're absolutely right. I mean, I think that there are a lot of different ways to live as an LGBT person in this country. And for some people, it is about, you know, radicalism and the avant-garde and, you know, living in a big city and creating art and you know, being outrageous. But there are lots of, like, suburban, you know, bland gay people out there who also deserve representation. You know, the great Quentin Crisp once said that we'll know that we've reached equality when gay people are allowed to be boring. And so, not these movies are boring, but, you know, I think that you can put a same-sex couple into the fabric of what makes up a Hallmark movie, a Lifetime movie, and we're not going to set the place on fire. You know, we want to go to the tree lighting, too. We decorate cookies, too.
Of course.
So, you know, I think all kinds of LGBT representation is great. And I think that, you know, we should be able to do more in these movies than sort of be the, you know, sage best friend with romantic advice. I think if you had a lead couple, a secondary couple that was same sex in one of these movies, you know, the earth would not fall into the sun.
And it's really well said.
And by the way, Jeff. Mm-hmm. You know, because I keep it 100 like the kids.
100.
Right? 100. Right? Real talk.
Real talk, Kev.
My gay friends, nobody does Christmas better than them.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, the trees, I mean, I've seen thousands of lights on a house Christmas tree through my gay friends.
Yeah.
We definitely could gay up our Christmas.
Totally.
But I think with Love, Simon, what was beautiful about that film is it was not a gay film.
Right.
It was a love story,
yep.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's his point and yours, is let's just have a Christmas story. It's not a gay Christmas story, but a Christmas story, and the characters happen to be gay.
Totally.
And that's it. And I think that will be the next step in the evolution. I think Hallmark has a base. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
So they're going to be very concerned, like, this loyal base they have.
We got into that, and
you know,
he has a ton of thoughts about who Hallmark's demo is and how it would play. And you'll have to check out the whole interview, because I did challenge him on that. Do you think, you know, knowing that a lot of these Hallmark fans are Christian-leaning and from Middle America, and he gets into the fact that, you know, he's like, I want to give credit to some of these people who, in the 21st century, have come to terms with the fact that they can be, you know, Christian-leaning lovers of the soccer game right down the road, but also want to see a story about two, you know, guys in an office.
Or at the very least, don't have a problem.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
I think it's really important that he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. But when you kind of put that out in the ethos, then it's closer to becoming reality.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, you know, which is our society today, I feel like, which is like, screw them. It's always us against them. On the left and the right, or generally speaking, you know, we're seeing that more and more, which is sad. And I love that his response, which wasn't that. And I think he's right. And I feel like you never understood, Jeff. And I think you probably are more religious than I am these days. But I never understood how the, if you studied Jesus and, you know, the fundamentals of Christianity, you know, could you imagine the Christ, the historical Christ, you know, saying, judging somebody for who they loved or what gender they loved or who, do you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean.
Saw what he did with Mary Magdalene, like,
right
from the beginning, like, ye without sin cast the first stone. It was supposed to be about forgiveness and understanding. Mm-hmm. I never understood the level of violence and hatred.
I know.
And it just, it's such a contradiction. Then you're not a Christian, I don't think.
It's so disproportionate. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it would be really interesting to see. You know, I think one thing I believe as a church-going Christian is the church and the American Christian movement is not at all handling this LGBT thing right.
No. Well, I know, at least I can speak for the Catholic side of mm-hmm. it, is I know they have been very concerned with their what's left of their base.
Mm.
I mean, I went to my church growing up. You know, I go every Christmas. When I fly back to Boston, it's kind of my ritual.
Yeah.
I go to New York, I produce something for Sirius, and then I see the tree, and then I see old friends and people I grew up with. I go to my dad's grave. I have this whole thing I do around Christmas.
Wow.
And it helps me get in the spirit. But going to my old church that I was in the choir and I was an altar boy and to see it's such a beautiful church physically. It's probably built 200 years ago, 150 years ago. So that part's fine. But when I did go in, I noticed like a really cheap Christmas tree and the cheapest of decoration, very sparse decorations, and certainly not because they're trying to be non-denominational. It's just you can see they don't have the money anymore.
Wow.
And we know that. And so the panic in the Catholic Church is the business side of it is how do we, you know, if we go too far, we'll lose our base. But I think at this point, I think there's a lot of older guys that are just trying to protect their lifestyles. And it's sad because a lot of the principles of the church are wonderful. It's done a lot of wonderful things.
Right.
And I always find it very sad when I see some of the most loyal Catholics who are gay. I feel so bad for them because I'm like, you're being loyal to this big part of this that doesn't want you. I also say that my experience, like almost like anything of people who are different in any way, shape, or form, once you integrate them and play the long game, and people realize, I've just seen the hardest people. I mean, I'm from Boston, so, racism, and it can be the bad Bostonians are bad. The good ones are wonderful. The bad are bad. And, you know, most of them I've seen when they've been exposed. I mean, all of a sudden it's like whether it's being with an African-American, someone gay or whatever, it's just over time. I mean, I've seen them go crazy to stick up for them. I've seen them take punches in the face for them. I mean, once they realize, you know what I mean? So it's just education. Once they get around it, they realize how silly they are.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. Ryan, I know you're an Alonzo fan. I'd love to hear your take on that little segment we did.
Yeah, Alonzo Duraldi, I've been a fan of his for at least 6 years. Obviously, he did like What the Flick, and now he's on Breakfast All Day. He's a massive film fan, and he knows so much about movies, especially Christmas. I thought that was such an interesting interview. I've never actually heard him talk about Hallmark movies, especially in that light, bringing in that the sexuality and why there aren't more like gay couples in Christmas movies. Yeah. Because honestly, even from like a business perspective, I feel like there's a huge audience for that too.
I know, we talked about that,
and I'd really be curious to listen to the rest of that interview. He is such a knowledgeable guy,
and he knows
his
stuff.
Great at sharing his opinion. Just one of the best in the game, and I've read every single review of his. I'm a huge fan.
Okay, great. So I want to ask you guys something, and this is not Christmas related.
Uh oh.
But if Love, Simon was a female, and with a guy that age, would that have been taboo?
A female with a guy that
wasn't he in high school, Simon?
Yes.
And he dated an older man.
He dated it.
No, he dated a classmate. I think you're referring to maybe Call Me By Your Name?
Yes, I'm sorry, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Love, Simon, right, was more teen comedy. But switching over to Love By Your Name, which I also thought was a great love story.
Yeah.
But if that were a female, would that have been a problem?
Maybe not as much.
If he was a high school the main character was a high school female who fell in love with an older man, and then they had this genuine and deep romance.
Or would it have been more of a problem now?
That's what I'm saying. Would it have been a problem? as a high school girl dating a 30-year-old guy.
Probably post Me Too, a lot of people have explored the dynamics
between... But to a guy and a guy, it wasn't offensive.
Well, a lot of people did get offended, actually.
They did.
Yeah, there's a lot of pushback over the age difference.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So that's fair. That's all I was asking.
I think a major thing was, since that movie took place in Europe, I think the laws are different there.
Yeah, and the culture is different.
In Italy, the age for statutory is different, and the culture is different. But there was a lot of people who were upset about the age difference.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Not very Christmas-like. Okay, Jeff, who is next?
Okay, so our last interview, this was with the Bubbly Sesh girls. Like I said, I feel like these girls are Hallmark incarnate. And this was cool, a kind of cool underdog story for them and how their podcast has grown. Let's see it, Ryan.
You guys are generous. So for our listeners who aren't here right now, give us just a 20-second description of what Christmas Con is. What's it look like? How's it feel?
Well, I mean, like we said, it's a big conference center full of people who love Christmas and love all things Christmas. It's podcasters, it's actors and actresses from Hallmark Channel, from other networks, where everybody gets to meet them and see them. Families are taking pictures. You're seeing local vendors. I mean, it's almost, since we're from Hallmark Channel, it's sort of like what would happen in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You got a big event. The whole town is coming together, and we're celebrating each other and the spirit of Christmas. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun because we all feel so connected to these movies, and I think that a lot of people here, you know, they watch these actors and actresses, and they feel like they know them, and now they can come here, they can get selfies, they can get autographs, they can watch the panel, and while they do that, they can go all around and experience like the local culture, because a lot of these vendors are local vendors, which is really exciting.
Which is very Hallmark as well. It's like homemade candles, essential oils. So Hallmark. Speaking of Hallmark, let's talk about the show, guys. You are the geniuses behind Bubbly Sesh. I would describe Bubbly Sesh as your two best friends breaking down every Hallmark movie. Is that a good...
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was really good. We're so excited. We started the Bubbly Sesh before we came to Hallmark, and then we actually pitched Hallmark, and they took us on as their official podcast, which is so exciting. And yeah, I mean, the podcast is born out of, like you said, two very good friends wanting to chat about Hallmark movies. We also drink some bubbly sometimes while we're chatting about it, but we're also two bubbly gals, so it works.
The synergy there is really on point.
So yeah.
And we recap all of the movies. We're recapping all the Christmas movies, all 40.
There's 40 guys.
Wow. Watch them all. They're all really good. I mean, we haven't seen half of them yet, but they're all going to be really good.
But we've watched the previews several times. That's the thing. We're Hallmark super fans, yes. So we would be chatting about these movies anyway, but now we're just opening up the conversation that more people can chat with us.
So we got a lot into sort of the dynamics of podcasting and, you know, how to really find your fan base. And again, they were also so generous. They really want to come on the show in January when they're going to be in LA. And just, I think it was a great chance for me and our network to...
I'm going
to
totally listen to them.
Yeah, they're great.
They're really good. You can tell, it's just that infectious energy. You have that, Jeff. So is Ryan.
Well, thanks, Kev.
So is Vito. You know...
they're warm.
Not
very
so
warm.
Much Stephen the Mew. Some of the other people here, well, yeah, unfortunately, not very Christmassy. Roxy Stryer, also not very Christmassy.
Not very Christmassy. They have their own niche, right? They
Steps
have their
and
own...
Bras, kind of, Christmas adjacent. I'm going over, like, our staff. You know, but you guys, yeah, you guys are...
Bring the Christmas energy.
Yeah. Well, I think anytime you're positive and passionate, good things will come to you.
It's true.
It's just how it is. You know? Yeah. So it's like you see those people, the energy is infectious. You want to be around them. You want to listen to them.
That was how most of the con was. I mean, it was just the best. And it was really, I felt privileged to get to meet some of our peers, you know, and it makes me excited about what we can be doing, collaborating. I did some stuff on some of their podcasts and made sure to push. We're going to be on Brian's next episode for the Christmas con.
Oh,
I did
great.
A little interview with him. So
great.
All really good stuff.
All right.
So we can do more Christmas con. I mean, all of our packages, everything. I'm going to do a tour of the con, so I'll take you from the stage to the Hallmark section through.
Yeah, let's direct people to the Christmas 24/7 channel.
Yes.
For video, and then Apple Podcasts will be on the, I think, if you search the 6 months of Christmas.
That's the easiest way to find us. But if you're on YouTube, I think we're now eligible for a custom URL, which is great. So what I'm hoping to lock down, if we can, is youtube.com/thechristmas247.
Okay.
Because now we have enough subscribers and videos to make it happen.
Great.
So I'm thinking, if you're listening to the podcast, by end of day today, when this drops, YouTube.com/TheChristmas247 is where you can see all of these interviews and see the tour of the convention that I'm going to be putting together.
And then
with
also your interviews with the stars, with the Hallmark
Tons
stars.
Of amazing.
And then you did Man on the Street stuff. And then,
so fun.
Yeah, and we got really fun stuff from the stars I saw too. So
really fun.
Jeff Graham, excellent job as field correspondent, first field reporting for the Christmas 24/7 channel.
I wouldn't miss it, Kev.
I'm very excited. So, well, Jeff, like, what can I say? So you were off keeping Christmas that way.
Yes.
At home here, I went down and checked a couple of Targets out.
Okay.
All right. And, you know, still boxes of decorations coming out.
Great.
We're not yet. Well, great in one respect, but, you know, usually the criticism is always, oh, Christmas too early. And I'm like, guys, let's get it. I want to talk to the manager. What do you need me to do? Put me to work.
I will say,
let's pull it together.
When I got to the con, I had forgotten my hat, and there was two stores nearby. There was a grocery store and a Home Depot. Thought the grocery store was closer, so I checked there first. They did have a Christmas aisle, but no Santa hats. Mm. And I went up to the cashier, and I was asking about it. She said, you know, we still have a ton of boxes in the back, and maybe they should be out by now. The Home Depot,
guys, come on,
came through, though.
Well, listen, here's my problem. You will see on the 22nd... they start taking all the decorations away.
Oh, too soon.
And what about, you have to understand, there's so many people on December 24th who just at that moment find the Christmas spirit.
It's important.
And they've got to pull their, they have to have their Act 3 moment like you see in the movies where they've got to go down to Home Depot and get the decoration and the tree away because I'm going to save Christmas. Now those people don't get to save Christmas, Jeff.
Kevin, do you know how, if we're ready to transition into it, a last-minute Christmas purchase fits perfectly into our Holiday Hero segment this week.
Okay, very good. That's what I want to hear.
I'm going to go hometown and actually talk about a local story. And okay. This has to do with my wife, whose name is Laura Catherine Palmer Graham. She...
You guys, it's just the wasps. You're great names. You're Jeffrey Crane Graham.
Yes.
And she's Lauren...
Laura Catherine...
Palmer.
Graham.
That's amazing.
Very, very Midwestern wasps. But she... When she turned 13
She's
years
LCPG.
Old, Kev, LCPG, she started to have some doubts about Christmas. And on December 24th,
Jeff.
So the day before,
wow.
She said, she came downstairs and said, Mom and Dad, I've got amazing news. I wrote Santa a letter.
Oh, no.
And I said, if you're real, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to leave me one of the sleigh bells on the counter. And that's how I'll know you're real. So we'll see if it happens. And of course, Laura's parents say, it's going to happen. They're wide-eyed. They're panicked. So that night... my father-in-law, Laura's dad, Bill...
Went out and stole. Yes.
No. He went to 17 different Walgreens around the greater Indiana. This took him 3 hours. He found a sleigh bell, brought it home. My wife woke up the next morning just with the deep, deep spirit of Christmas inside her. And you know what? It was her little sister, too. It was both of them. So there were two of them in on this, so the stakes were high for the Palmer girls.
So... I've met Laura. She's very sweet.
She's
great
a
great wife,
yes.
And talented. So how come that's all the ingredients where the kid turns into a monster?
I don't know.
When the parents go that far for them, maybe because it's balanced off with discipline?
Well, Laura was very conscientious.
She already was a good one.
She was a good one.
That's
she kind of, yeah. So I don't know. I think...
No, she was already a good one. And I think, you know, Midwestern too.
I think what happened, here's my case with the Midwestern upbringing. In general, there's a lot of hard lines, but I think the holidays are when those lines get pushed. So Molly the Donut, if you want to, we'll call back a couple episodes ago, very important story.
Yes, I'm still traumatized by not hearing the story of Molly, how I reacted
Your
about Molly.
Your own take Molly. On Molly.
Well, because sometimes I'm talking, I'm not thinking, and in my brain, I'm articulating different thoughts that come out of my mouth. I know it sounds crazy. And I remember poor Aaron, the elf intern, who's not here with us this week. She'll be back next week.
Yeah.
I just probably traumatized her because I know you guys are easily triggered. Your generation.
Aaron's tough. She's a toughie.
So I just, yeah, Molly the...
Molly the donut, yeah.
She was dressed as a donut, and the father asked everybody to pass. He gave everyone on the plane candy. And said, please, can you pass her all candy so she feels like she trick-or-treats? And so, yeah, so it's totally cute.
I'm guessing...
But, I was a little cranky. I was a little on edge. And it just was like, okay, another parent going way out of their way to make sure the children have the fairy tale perfect lives. And then they come and work for me. And then, you know, and they realize that the world isn't a fairy tale. Then I'm having to now deal with the mess.
You're in a lawsuit. Ryan, what do you think about how far can we push the line around the holidays in terms of child support?
In terms of child support?
No, not in terms of child support. Okay. In terms of making the magic happen.
Oh, I mean,
look. It's too much magic recipe for millennial disasters.
I think it is very much dependent upon the age. I think that's actually the whole entire deal is, and that's what every song's about too, for the most part. But that with your story in particular, I found that to be so sweet. It actually reminded me of Polar Express because at the end he gets his bell. That's all. That's the only thing
I need
he wanted.
To see the Polar Express because my
wife
watched a few minutes of it and was like, I don't like the animation, and then it stinks in our house.
Yeah,
when she's the queen decides. It's even like we've been to food places, me and my in-laws, and we're all excited. Everyone's like, I love it. I love it. Yeah, this is great. I hate it. I'm like, okay, that's done. We're never coming back here again. Yeah, so she pulled the plug on Polar Express, but I'm going to jump in on it. I think here's the thing, guys. Maybe every four Christmases, we get a drunk uncle who punches it, a couple of holes in walls, throws, I've seen turkeys fly out windows,
yeah. Right.
Maybe a big scrap and a scuffle of cubs come in just to kind of balance it all off. No, I'm being facetious. Here's really the formula. And my dad, I think, had it down. Was no toys all year long, just birthdays and Christmas. Mm. Make those days special. And then every other day after, you're accountable. And, you know, it's allowance and things like that you need to save for and to get. And then, yeah, you can go crazy.
Mm.
Then I think it's totally fine.
Yeah. Oh, so you're talking monetarily.
I'm saying even attention, even where it's just you make the day, you go way out of your way to make the day special and perfect. The thing is, I have charges up because I know parents who do that.
All the time.
Every minute of the day. And they're raising little narcissistic monsters.
Yep. Well,
less is more.
And when the when they have to face the real world, I just see them all. This is where the nervous breakdowns, the anxieties, the traumas,
they
all this. Yeah, because they're totally unprepared. I've seen it in their eyes.
Yeah,
like 22, and they'll come cry to me, and I'll go, okay, get mom and dad on the phone. You know, guess what? This is what it's like now.
Well, I think
if you have, which Laura did, and you did too, Jeff, and you did too, Ryan, I know, because the way you guys talk about your parents and what I've heard and how you guys were raised, I think if you're getting structure and discipline year-round, then those days that are special, we can go crazy and make amazing.
Definitely. Right?
But not, it's just not around the clock. You know?
I couldn't agree more. And yeah, I think that's a perfect way to make our way out of here, Kev.
I think so, too.
Are we loading up the slide?
What is our next episode, Jeff? What are we covering?
So I guess it's not till next week, but luckily to hold your appetite over, there's going to be a ton of Christmas Con content dropping on the channel this week.
Great.
You know, I am ashamed to admit I didn't look at our calendar. This is where Elf Aaron is.
Elf Aaron, really. I think Elf Aaron is on her way to running this network.
I was going
to
say, Kev, we found a good one.
Yeah, damn.
With little Elf Aaron.
She's.
But she does have a whole calendar slate out. So here's what I'll say. I can promise you some great Christmas Con content this week, both on the podcast feed and on the channel. And we know that Elf Aaron's going to have an amazing show planned for next week.
Here's the thing, as a guest, I think we're going to go over the hidden gems of Christmas movies and TV specials.
Can we bring Alonzo in?
So if you've seen everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Is he in LA?
Yeah.
He wrote a book, man.
Yeah.
I've got the book. He gave us a copy.
Yeah. We need him to come in.
He's
and
in WeHo.
I can have my picks. You know, my hidden gems, you can have yours. I mean, we're going to do watch-alongs for some of the Christmas specials.
Yeah.
And listen, you know what I realized, guys?
What's that?
We're not going to be able, as much as we want to try. The goal is to save Christmas this year.
Yes.
We're going to do our best. But we have to remember that I am of the belief that there's going to be a Christmas 2020.
Absolutely.
So we need to save some content for that, too. So we don't get to everything, you know, that we want to get to, which is covering, I don't know. It's a Wonderful Life. What's the best Scrooge movie? We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Time. We have decades to be doing this show.
Absolutely. Let's load up that sleigh. What do you think?
It's getting late, and I've got these letters to deliver.
That's right.
And you better be getting home, too. And remember, behave yourselves.
I'm sad the show's over, Kev. We have to wait another week.
Well, Jeff, we have a lot of Christmas concept, and you never know, Jeff, if three or four of our fans say, can you just go in studio and talk a little Christmas this week? You know, we only have seven of these studios, right?
We
just walk in and hit a button and we go.
We can figure it out.
Yeah, everything's figureoutable.
Everything's figureoutable.
All right, Jeff. So it's at the Christmas 24/7.
Yep.
It's at Undergaro on my end.
It's at Jeffrey C. Graham. Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube if you're on our podcast.
Please.
And vice versa. And let's say,
Jeff, if you're a fan of Bachelor, like you said on your earlier interviews, you know, Jeff Graham hosts our Bachelor News Daily Show on our AfterBuzz TV reality channel.
A lot of great Bachelor stuff over there. And make sure the Hallmark coverage just launched on this channel, too. And Chelsea Overocker, who is definitely, it's Chelsea and Haley J, right?
I
will say those bubbly sesh girls are stars, but damn it, so are Chelsea and Haley.
Yes.
I use the D word there, Kevin, because they're that good. I would have said dang it, but I said it, Gone with the Wind style, because...
And you made Baby Jesus cry, but that's a whole other show.
It's a different discussion. Show, but Chelsea and Haley are so good at the Hallmark stuff. They're right up there with those bubbly sesh girls, so definitely check that out.
Very good.
All righty, let's get out of here, and until next time, guys, do your best to make every day feel like Christmas.
From Chairman Elves, Kevin Undergaro, and Maria Menounos, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Until next time, do your best to make every day Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!